That sounds more right.
I've heard it all my life, even had it memorized, but it was only words to me. Red letters on a page, just something people say, till it brought me to my knees. Those words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son away, a way to save a wretch like me. The one who needed grace, grace to cover every stain, stains that he no longer sees. It's amazing to believe that God so loved the world means even me.
That's right.
Yes. How could he see my sin? Forgive me even then. Who would pay that kind of price? I've seen what mercy does. He found me where I was, and he gave his life for mine. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son away, a way to save a wretch like me. Me, the one who needed grace, grace to cover every stain, stains that he no longer sees. It's amazing to believe that God so loved the world means God so loved the world, he gave his only son away, a way to save a wretch like me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son away, a way to save a wretch like me. Me, the one who needed grace, grace to cover every stain, stains that he no longer sees. It's amazing to believe. It's amazing to believe that God so loved the world means even me. God so loved the world means even me.
I was a wretch, I remember who I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains and freed my soul. For the first time I took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end.
Have you with us today? We're so glad that you're with us. I know some folks are traveling. As Scotty said, we kind of got certain sections that are missing in the church, and so we know who you are, and we think we know where you're at. You're probably got your toes in the sand, so we're glad that some of our folks can enjoy a little time away with the family. Take advantage of that. So we're glad. But those of you that are here, I know we got distractions up here again. This is part two of distractions. There was so much that I couldn't get it all in one message, so we're kind of going to follow up again a little bit more about distractions. Stand with me as we look in Luke chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and he said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Father, we're thankful for this passage of Scripture, this event that happened in the lives of Martha and Mary, and how you shared with them and experienced with them some beautiful things. You shared your word with them, the future. You shared what was on your heart with them. And God, as we know, we're already finding out, it's obvious that Martha was distracted. And how many times we miss out on those beautiful things, those beautiful times with you, God. We pray today that we will not be distracted. We pray that you take Lord, all the distractions away, that we could really focus for the next few moments on your word, on your truths, and on our relationship with you. We pray, God, that you build us up to be who and what we need to be for you. Forgive us of our sins, the many times we have been distracted and pulled away in our relationship to you. I pray, God, that you're glorified through the remainder of this service. We love you. God, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to remind you again the definition, or a good definition of what distractions are. It's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Keep that in mind. That's what the distractions are. If it keeps us from putting our full focus and attention on something. Let's go back and look at Luke 10 and verse 38, at that first passage where Jesus came to see him. It came to pass that as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I want us to define the difference between a distraction and a divine interruption. They're different. A distraction, we know, is a distraction has the intent, and the goal of a distraction is to pull us away from the plan that God has set before us. A divine interruption is something that will enter our life to cause us to look toward that calling and that leading into the plan that God has for our lives. I think sometimes we confuse the two. We feel as though sometimes when our life, we have some sort of interruption, we'll look at all those interruptions as distractions. You know, how am I going to know if I'm having a divine interruption or if I'm actually having a distraction? How do we distinguish the two? Well, basically, what is God telling you in your heart of hearts? What's God leading you to do? What's the instruction? What's the plan that God has for your life? We're going to know whether it's a distraction or a divine interruption when we know what it is that God wants to do in our lives. Let's look at a passage of Scripture out of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse number 46. This is Jesus. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, and he said unto them that told him, who is my mother and where are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples, and he said, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus had his natural brothers and his mother Mary standing outside the door seeking an audience with him. This is his mama. Remember that. Has your mama ever been a distraction to you? You better say probably no, we think, don't we? But I think what we're seeing in this is we're seeing the real heart of Jesus, that he said, you know something? Not even my family takes precedence over what the Father is telling me that I need to do. I love my mother. I love my brother. And he's basically saying, but there is a priority in my heart and in my life. And doing the will of the Father is job number one. Because in all essence, you're my brothers. You're my sisters. You're my mother. You're my father. We're all family, those that believe and trust in God. So Jesus kind of gave us a little insight about distractions. Can distractions come from your own family? You better know it. I'm going to say a lot of distractions come from our own family. Maybe most, I don't know, but a lot of, because we're with them more than we're with anybody else. So distractions can happen and come from our own family. Here's another instance about Jesus in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat, because Jesus had eaten in a while. Master, you need to eat. Jesus, you need to eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat of that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? So they're asking, because Jesus said, I have meat to eat of that you don't know. They're wondering, did somebody bring him a cheeseburger? Did somebody bring something for him to eat? Because is he got something we don't know about? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Now, what Jesus is saying is, I'm not even going to let my stomach distract me. Talking about donuts earlier, Scotty. That picture kind of looks like a donut in a way, don't it? Can I say that I'm easily distracted by food, especially sweets? You know, Jesus is just basically, He's laying it down and He's saying, I'm not even going to let food distract me from the will of the Father. I mean, these are some important things that Jesus is relating to us. Jesus, and I had to write this down so I don't mess up how I want to say it. Jesus was indistractable, okay? Jesus was indistractable, but Jesus was very interruptible. Jesus could not be distracted from the will of the Father. He could not be distracted from the plan that the Father put in place for Him. He knew what He needed to do. He knew where He needed to go. He knew the things He needed to accomplish. He knew that His goal was to come and to seek and to save that which is lost. He knew that He was going to go to a cross and He was going to die and He was going to be the perfect lamb and the sacrifice for all of our sins. Jesus knew the plan. So He could not be distracted. He was indistractable from the plan, the purpose the Father had set before Him and what He needed to do. But He was very interruptible, which meant there are all kind of divine interruptions that came along the path between Him declaring His public ministry and when Jesus died on the cross. Those 3.5 years that He spent in ministry there, he had a lot of interruptions that happened along the way from public ministry to the cross and then the resurrection and then the ascension. So He used those, took advantage of those divine interruptions to be a blessing to people along the way. You may have a plan that you know, well, this is the overall goal in my life that God has for me. I kind of know that my plan is and my vision is to be called to preach and to pastor and to declare the Word of God the best I can. But along the way, there are going to be these interruptions that are going to happen in life. Through the week, there are going to be phone calls that I'm going to get that people are going to want to talk about certain things. There are going to be questions that are going to arise. There are going to be decisions and issues that are going to arise that need to be dealt with. But I can't let anything distract me from the plan and the vision God has for me, but I can allow these interruptions if I feel this is something I can be beneficial to the kingdom of God. So pray about it. How do we know what is a distraction and what is a divine interruption? I think if we're starting our day seeking God, if we're going in an attitude of prayer, then what God's going to do is He's going to open up this understanding of what is a divine interruption and what has become a distraction. Know that every distraction wants to pull you away from the plan. Know that the divine interruption wants to lead you toward the plan. If you've got an opportunity to help somebody and it's not taking you away from being who you are in Jesus Christ, I'm going to throw it out there. That's a divine interruption. It may take some of your time. It may take some of your energy, some of your money, some of your resources. It may cost you something, but it's going to be worth it because it's an interruption that God has presented to us from heaven. The next thing is distractions are going to cost us. I know we looked at several different distractions last week, what some of the distractions were that can hit us in life, some of the most popular. Now let's look at some of the things that happen because of these distractions. One is that these distractions are going to cost us something. Luke 10 and 39 and the first part of 40 said that she had a sister called Mary. Notice what Mary's doing. Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha had missed out on sitting at the feet of Jesus and taking in His word and hearing what Jesus had to say. It cost her this opportunity to hear the words of Jesus, to hear Him speak and hear Him share and talk about what's on His heart. I know that we would say today that if we knew Jesus was going to appear and He was going to preach somewhere in a stadium, we're going to do everything we can to get there and to get involved and be as close to Jesus as we could be. Just think about it. Martha was here and Jesus was in her house. Yet she remained in the kitchen and preparing and serving while Mary sat at his feet and took in all those words. What did it cost her? It cost her hearing those words fall from the lips of her blessed Savior. What does it cost us? Look back in Genesis 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw, this is Eve, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and that the tree, it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. Eve, what did it cost? I'm going to tell you, the distraction of the tree, the beauty of the tree, the fruit and the enticement of it being something that can make me wise cost her her innocence. And she became sinful. Because of that, sin brings what? Sin brings death. And we can say, you know, God said that when you eat of the tree, if you eat of it, you're going to die. We say, well, they lived a long time before they ever died after they ate of that tree. No, listen, they began to die the moment they ate of the tree. Spiritually, they were dead and they had to repent of their sin. But physically, they began to die from the moment they ate of the fruit of the tree. It's kind of sad to think, but from the minute that we're born, we begin the process toward death, don't we? And so she was no different. So what did it cost her? It cost her her innocence. I think about the ego that Samson had and how he was so struck on himself and his own beauty and his own strength. And nobody can stand against me. Nobody can touch me because I have this secret power, you know, that God has given me. But because of his ego, it cost him true vision. He wasn't able to see as he once did because his natural eyes, we know, were gouged out. But at the same time, spiritually, he wasn't able to see. That vision was blurred because he was distracted by his own ego and by who he thought he was. You know, he thought the wheels wouldn't turn unless he was there. He thought there's no way that the people are going to be saved or protected or defended unless I'm here. So I am needed. He was distracted to think that he was it. Do you know people that think that they're all it? It can be a distraction, and we can lose true insight and true spiritual vision when we let those things happen. When Lot and Abraham were together and the story goes, they had so many people and so much stuff that they were growing just massively. And so Abraham said, Lot, we've got too much between us and it's causing conflict between my servants and your servants and my beasts and animals and yours. And so we need to just kind of separate and give a little breathing room there. So he said, I'm going to let you have choice of wherever you want to go. You choose first and I'll go wherever you don't want to go. And so Lot looked and it said he eyed the plains down towards Sodom and saw how beautiful the pastures were. And it's going to be a great place for me to let my cattle go down here and my beasts. And so he eyed it and he thought it was beautiful. And because of his greed, rather than him looking at Abraham and saying, listen, Abraham, no, you're smarter, you're wiser than me. You tell me where you want to go and I'll go wherever you don't want to go. Instead of him choosing to be second and he demanded to be first, he eyed the plains of Sodom. And we know the story of Lot, what happened next, don't we? We see that progression of sin. He camped out near the city. Next thing you know, he bought an apartment in the city. He moved in there. Next thing you know, he got a place and started raising his family there. Next thing you know, he was down at the gates where everybody passed around the gossip, and he just became one of the guys. Barely escaped the city when God sent people to bring him out. His greed distracted him from being where Abraham was and being part of a blessing. Now let's look at the distractions that prevent greatness. In 10 and 40, the first part again, it said Martha was cumbered about with much serving. But then I want to go to verse number 42. At the end of this passage, it says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It said, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She heard his words. Martha in here serving. We're not knocking Martha for doing something wrong, okay? Being a servant is a great thing to be. We need more people who are willing to be servants. But the problem came in is we can choose to do something good, but it not be the right thing at that moment and that time. Because you know what? The dishes are still going to be there when they get done hearing what Jesus had to say. I know everybody's going to write that down. That's my excuse to never do dishes. Preacher said the dishes are always going to be there. Well, as long as you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, then you can avoid doing the dishes. I put it like that. When it comes to something that is vitally important to your spiritual growth, listen, those things are still going to be there. And that's what we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about what's going to happen to us if we allow those distractions to pull us away. We're missing out on some beautiful and amazing things. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, basically everything that you do, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Keep this in mind when we're dealing with distractions. Some things in life, when God is dealing with you, some things in life you are going to have one shot at. You don't take advantage of that one shot, you're going to miss it and it's going to be gone forever. You're never going to get another opportunity to do some things for the Lord. I thought about that when I was thinking about Martha and what she had missed out on. She's in here cumbered about, you know, working, struggling. Mary's in here sitting at the feet of Jesus, just taking in every word. And I'm thinking, Martha had one shot here to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he had to say. But she chose to allow herself to be distracted by all the serving. Well, this has to be done. That has to be done. And she missed out on this one chance to sit at the feet of Jesus. And this is the thing, again, about distractions. Distractions don't have to be an invitation to go down to the bar or to go do something that's completely ungodly or to be a part of a crime or anything like that. Now, no, don't get me wrong. Distractions don't have to be those kind of things that are obvious. Distractions can be good things. Most time they are. But distraction has the intent of pulling us away from the plan that God has for us. Yeah, serving like Martha did, that's a great thing, but it's a whole lot better and more important and essential to be sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing what Jesus had to say. So keep that in mind. We have one shot at many things in life. Don't let a distraction keep you from that beautiful thing God has for you. And this one I never really thought about a lot till just this past week. Distractions actually challenge the authority of God. You realize that? Verse number 40, Luke 10, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And then she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And then here's what she told Jesus, bid her that she should help me. You know what Martha did? She rebuked Jesus. I never really got that before. But she came out. It's like, I'm sure, you know, she's got the apron on, you know, sweat pouring down. The hair's all messed up, you know. Probably got soap suds on her shirt. And she's coming in here and got her sleeves rolled up. Got a tray full of I don't know, something, snacks or something to have. And she's coming in here. The kitchen's a mess. You know, and it's a wreck, and everything she's doing by herself and getting drinks for everybody, and she pops in, she says, Jesus, do you not care that I'm serving by myself while my sister sits at your feet? Tell her to get up and help me. That's basically, she were to say it today, what she said to Jesus. That's a little bit scary, isn't it? She rebuked Jesus because she had been distracted. I'm thinking, wow, distractions can cause us to challenge the authority of God. I never really thought a distraction could have that much power or meant that much. Here's what a distraction is. If we say yes to a distraction, then guess what? We're saying no to God. If we say yes to a distraction, we're basically saying no to God. So what do we do? How do we solve this distraction dilemma? We choose that essential part over what we think may even be urgent in our lives. Verses 41 and 42. Jesus answered, he said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's the answer. God's telling us. Jesus himself is saying, choose those things that are most essential in life. Choose those things that really matter and make a difference for the kingdom of God. Yeah, the dishes are still going to be there. Guess what? If social media, it's still going to be there in another hour or two. We don't have to pick up our phone every 4 minutes like we talked about last week, and just because it's in our hand and it's a habit, it's still going to be there. Somebody posts something and you miss it, it's still going to be there. We can miss out on some beautiful times with God when we allow ourselves to be sucked into these distractions. And this is I want to close with this. This thought came to me this week as well. What if Martha had chose to do what Mary did? Okay. What if Martha said, you know something? Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, is coming to my house. I'm bringing him in here. This was a divine interruption of him showing up anyway. Bring him into the living room. We're all going to sit in here. I'm going to jump down there at his feet just like Mary is. We're going to sit and soak up everything that he has to say. And I'm not going to worry about serving anybody. I'm not going to worry about these other things, even though they're important. I'm going to be involved and concerned about the most essential thing in my life, which is sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what? Perhaps if she had chose to follow Christ and listen to Christ over being distracted, we might be reading about another miracle right here of blessing some fish and some loaves in the house of Martha. Think about it. I mean, eventually they're going to get hungry, right? Maybe Jesus just spoke a word and all of a sudden they had a whole tray of donuts right there. Amen. Who knows? So that leads me to think, wow, when I let distractions come in, sometimes I just get one shot at serving God in a certain area for a certain time and for a certain moment. Don't miss those things. And think what distractions may cause not to happen that God would love to accomplish. But I refuse to because I'm sucked into the distraction. The world's filled with distractions. We've got to choose. Are we going to allow them to control us? Or are we going to have a heart for God? Are we seeking a deep relationship with Jesus Christ to know him? Are we praying to him? Are we reading his word? Are we developing that relationship like it needs to be? Then guess what's going to happen? The more we are like Christ, the more we learn about him, the more we become like him, and the less we're going to be distracted. Jesus was indistractable. Then we'll be able to sense those divine interruptions. We'll be useful to the kingdom of God, and he will bless us. Are you distracted today? Maybe you're struggling with salvation, and you're distracted. Oh, if we can just get through this, I'm thinking about where I'm going to go eat. I'm going to check my phone when the invitation starts so that I don't have to deal with thinking about the Spirit convicting me of my sins. Maybe today you're lost and you need to be saved. Jesus died on a cross for your sins and he wants to save you today. Don't let this world, don't let anything distract you from giving yourself to Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you know what it means to be a child of the King, and yet you find this world is filled with distractions. You know something? Maybe there are some things in your life right now that you need to take out of your life because you know they're distractions. Is it going to be easy? No. Anything we like and we try to give up, it's going to be hard. Anything we've allowed ourselves to get used to, Bible says that when we entertain sin that way, when we allow ourselves to give in to certain temptations, we become a slave to those things. So we've bought into it, that we've allowed ourselves to taste it, and it tastes good, and we like it, even though it's not good for us. Yeah, there might be some things in our life that we need to give up that we know are distractions. Then let's get on this altar today and say, God, take away those things in my life that are distractions in my relationship to you. Be careful how you pray that prayer, though, because he sure will tell you what those distractions are. But if you want to be right with God, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have joy in your heart and peace that passes all understanding, then we got to get those things out. Stand with me as we pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. God, we're thankful for revealing to us the importance of not being distracted, God, but being focused on you, Jesus, and on your plan and your goal for us. We pray today that, God, every person here under the sound of our voice would just take a look, God, at their life. They would put their values and their importance together and see, where is my priorities? Where is Christ fall? Am I being distracted by this world? Am I being distracted by things around me that I could easily do away with? God, help us to be focused, because our days are shorter. We don't have any more time than we do right now to serve you. So speak to the hearts and give us what we need. Forgive me and forgive us, God, of our many sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.